All right, welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. We are talking about the bombshell revelation by Tulsi Gabbard of what we've known all along. And this is the thing. You can get kind of lost in the weeds. Obviously, the strategy of the left is to try to just obfuscate and confuse everybody as to what exactly is happening here. Let me lay it out very, very, very clearly to you. It's not difficult. The powers that be conspired to try to stop Trump from being elected. And when they failed, their backup plan was to hobble his presidency by saddling it with these claims of Russia collusion, stopping him from doing anything, most importantly, stopping him from interfering with their planned war against Russia. Because it's not, don't think for a single second that it is a coincidence that Russia is the country that they chose to frame Donald Trump with, because they knew that if he had this media narrative going that he was a Russian agent, then that would force his actions against Russia's interest, because anything he did that it was remotely in favor of Russia, they'd be able to point to as evidence that he was serving Russia's interest. So because they had long planned to, you know, start a war in Ukraine, try to weaken Russia through a proxy war before ultimately, you know, committing a regime change operation there in an effort to destroy a nationalistic bulwark to their globalist combine. So they needed Trump to be influenced away from Russia, pushed away from Russia as much as possible. And the best way to do that is frame him as being a Russian puppet so that on his own volition, he'll go out of his way to not fulfill that assumption and work against the interests of Russia and continue to, you know, exacerbate the conflict between us. And of course, this came to a head when he called Ukraine and was trying to get information about the corrupt activities of American statesmen in that country, including Joe Biden and his son Hunter, but just tons of other people as well. And they impeached him over it, again, as a defensive move to stop him from looking in to the, you know, facts of the case. And because once you start pulling on that string, the whole sweater unravels. So again, I think it's important to, I guess people who don't know this, go back and try to understand it. Should have grabbed more clips. One of the most disturbing things about the press conference yesterday is Tulsi Gabbard lays out, again, and it's not complicated, it's not hard to understand. She's a very clear speaker. It's very obvious what she laid out, and it was very disturbing what she laid out, that the president of the United States deliberately withheld exculpatory evidence so that they could continue to push a lie knowingly in a politicized attempt to weaponize the intelligence agencies against their political opponents. That's just like a huge deal. That is a gigantic deal. And again, obviously, we've known this forever. But for this to come from the director of national intelligence at the podium at the White House, you would think, one would think that even if just to maintain the bare semblance, the appearance of objectivity, the people, the reporters in the White House press briefing room, when they heard this, would be outraged by it, would be astonished by it, would, you know, want to ask questions about, you know, how far this goes. And if there are people still in the administration that may be holdovers from this cabal, I mean, this is a big deal. Instead, they're defending him. And this is the really like incredible thing about the mind control of the globalists and how they've sort of reached critical mass in their mind control efforts. They don't have to give out talking points. They don't have to distribute, you know, position papers telling everybody under their control how they're supposed to feel. They know it already. They know it already. So when they say that Obama was caught, and here's the evidence, here's the documents of him, you know, conspiring with the intelligence agencies to try to ruin Trump's presidency, they just immediately start arguing with her. They just immediately start going, oh, well, if this was the case, then Trump was already president. Why didn't he do it then? Well, one of the people that you named, John Ratcliffe, is still working for your... So why haven't you fired him? And they just know automatically we're not supposed to believe this.
But Alex holds magic inside of his glove. putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. We'll move on because I don't know how much more there is to say about what Tulsi Gabbard revealed yesterday, except that it's basically everything that we've already known. I mean, this is the thing. If you were there in 2016, it's like you watched them throw Hillary Clinton into a van like a sack of potatoes. And now it's like 10 years later, they're like, Hillary wasn't healthy. It's like, yeah, we know. No, we know. No, we're aware. Next, you're going to be telling me Pizzagate is real. Next, you're going to be telling me Michelle Obama is a man. Again, the sad thing about this is that any of this has to be explained to anybody, that the media is acting stupid and pretending like they didn't know. This is a story from back in 2017. Obama's campaign paid $972,000 to law firm that secretly paid Fusion GPS in 2016. It's by Sean Davis on The Federalist, again, all the way back in 2017. Obama's campaign organization has paid nearly $1 million to the law firm that funneled money to Fusion GPS to compile a dossier of allegations against Donald Trump. Former President Barack Obama's official campaign organization has directed nearly $1 million to the same law firm that funneled money to Fusion GPS, the firm behind the infamous Steele dossier. Since April of 2016, Obama for America has paid over $972,000 to Perkins Coie. Records filed with the Federal Elections Commission show. The Washington Post reported last week that Perkins Coie, an international law firm, was directed by both the National Democratic Committee and Hillary Clinton's campaign to retain Fusion GPS in April of 2016 to dig up dirt on then-candidate Donald Trump. Fusion GPS then hired Christopher Steele, a former British spy, to compile a dossier of allegations that Trump and his campaign actively colluded with the Russian government during the 2016 campaign. Though many of the claims in the dossier have been directly refuted, none of the dossier allegations of collusion have been independently verified. Lawyers for Steele admitted in court filings last April his work was not verified and never meant to be made public. So again, Obama's campaign pays Perkins Coie, who then employs Fusion GPS, who gets Christopher Steele to compile this fake dossier that the FBI then uses, despite knowing it came from opposition research, despite knowing that the claims were unverified, despite knowing that it was entirely false, pretended to believe it in order to get the warrants to spy on the Trump campaign under the assumption that once they started spying on the Trump campaign, there would be something they could get them for, right? And if nothing else, then they would send Russian assets themselves. The intelligence agencies would provide provisionary visas specifically for Russian agents to come into the country to go meet at Trump Tower with Trump administration officials to then point to that and say, see, they're meeting with Russian officials, even though it was the FBI themselves who sent the Russian officials in the first place, because we're dealing with just, this is spycraft. This is intelligence community work. This is what they do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is crap like this. And they're manipulating everybody. But again, it's obvious. It's imminently observable. It is apparent to anybody with the ability to apply logic to a set of circumstances. And again, as we go through this Daily Beast article, and we'll move on because we got a lot of other stuff to talk about. And again, I guess the question here is Obama going to be in handcuffs? Is John Brennan going to be in handcuffs? And if so, what happens then? If so, are these leftist groups, the likes of Antifa, who just 2 weeks ago staged a murderous ambush, a multi-stage, highly coordinated military action against ICE agents, not to mention the ongoing insurrection encampment in Portland, the violent riots against immigration officers in LA, the Black Lives Matter crowd. How would they respond to the arrest of Barack Obama if you have Democrat politicians like they do every other time this happens, going out and stoking the fires and riling them up and telling them that the riot is the voice of the unheard, calling, you know, violent attacks peaceful protest, an attempt to cover up the actions of their foot soldiers attacking their enemies at their orders because the president of the United States is seeking criminal charges against people who committed criminal actions. I wonder how the left feels about Obama. If he got arrested, would they even care at this point? I don't even know. Then again, they just hate Trump anyway and would use this as an excuse. And at a certain point, I guess it just doesn't matter how hypocritical they are. They're just, I guess it's just a fact we need to accept and move on from. It is going to be funny, however, watching them, you know, cry about a former president being arrested. So I just, for the sake of our country, these trials have to go on. They have to be charged. They have to be arrested. They have to be thrown in prison. This just has to happen. And whatever comes in the fallout of that, well, it'll just happen. DOJ launches strike force to investigate Obama team's weaponization of Russia hoax against Trump. A federal strike force is made up of teams of investigators from multiple agencies working together to take on complex cases. The DOJ announced Wednesday the formation of the strike force in response to new revelations of how former President Barack Obama and member of the intelligence community fabricated the Russia hoax that haunted President Trump's first term and cost American taxpayers millions of dollars. Attorney General Pam Bondi said in a statement that the strike force will assess the evidence and investigate potential next legal steps related to a damning 2020 report released this week by Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard. So I guess this would be like, what would we say? This is like 1/8 of the way there. I'm trying to think. As far as I'm concerned, like if I was president, my priorities be Jeffrey Epstein and that blackmail ring and the cover-up and the murder and the Mossad infiltration. It would be COVID-19 and the vaccine poison, the creation of the lab leak, the lies to Congress, the cover-up, the shutting down schools and permanently injuring millions of people, as well as the massive deaths and the rise in turbo cancer, all that stuff. Okay, we haven't seen any movement there. Obviously, the Epstein files are not seeing any movement on. In fact, quite the opposite. Then we have the 2016 election. But then we also have the 2020 election. So out of all of these, this is the first one that's actually shown some sign of movement. But so far, nothing real has happened. Right? All we have is this bizarre and highly produced infographic. Oh, what's that? It's just an infographic. Never mind. It's just a very normal infographic. It's actually not a very good infographic. Could have done a hell of a lot better. It ain't great. But even instead of just like focusing on the facts of it, I think it's more valuable to try to teach people how they themselves can read this information and glean the truth from it. Like I said, if you erase about half of this Daily Beast article, then it is a true article. However, the facts are constantly obscured by just inadequate information or straight up opinions. And the next line here is pretty great. However, as Gabbard continues to release the documents, she has strategically conflated two separate Russian activities in her messaging. The documents determine Russia did not attack election infrastructure or hack the election, but the intelligence community did find that Russia tried to influence the ballot. Okay, well, the intelligence community finding that Russia tried to influence the ballot doesn't actually mean anything, does it? It doesn't actually mean anything. They didn't actually present proof that this happened. They never actually made the case. Even if Russia tried, like, what does that even mean? It means that they didn't do it. Right? So you can take this paragraph, and it's multiple sentences, and out of all of it, there's about 10 words that actually should be in the article. So you can just release. However, as Gabbard continued to release the documents, she has strategically conflated two Russian activities in her messaging. No, she hasn't. This is the part that's true. The documents determine Russia did not attack election infrastructure or hack the election, and the rest of it is unnecessary. Okay? So again, I want to teach you that in this Daily Beast article that is replete with lies, the truth exists, and you can find it. She accused officials of promoting the lie that Vladimir Putin and the Russian government helped President Trump win the 2016 election. The report itself directly states Russia worked to undermine the election. What was less conclusive in that specific report was Russia's preferred candidate, which was the whole point. Right? I just want you to understand, A, how bad this is, how bad our situation is, and B, how we got here. Right? The situation is bad enough that just everything is a lie. Our own government works against us constantly. Even when we follow the rules and do everything right, they label us domestic terrorists, kick down our door in the middle of the night, haul us away at gunpoint. It's really bad. It's really, really bad in America right now. And the reason it's that bad, the way that we got here, is articles like this, is this type of activity. Do you think the intelligence community could get away with what it gets away with without the media deliberately obscuring reality? Without articles like this designed in a very sophisticated way to drive people away from the truth? This requires a universal, ubiquitous conspiracy at every level. Almost it's hard to explain. It's hard to even fathom how this mind control works, like how thoroughly controlled these people's minds are. Again, the director of national intelligence comes out and says the former president weaponized the intelligence community against his opponent, and he is being referred to the DOJ for criminal charges, possibly up to and including treason, for which the death penalty is the ultimate consequence. And in response, instead of shock and, you know, horror at what was revealed, every question asked was trying to downplay it, was trying to poke holes in it, was trying to, and like, it just doesn't make any sense. You present these people with something they've never seen before, and they just immediately know that they're not supposed to believe it, and they're supposed to look for ways to undercut it. Like, that's, and it truly is wild to see how this works. So again, it's not complicated. It's not hard to understand. Russia did not prefer Hillary or Trump. That's pretty much all you need to know. So all of the claims of Trump's Russia collusion were all false. And again, it just goes on and on. I don't know. We can just move on. But it's just when you start thinking about everything that's gone on, all that she talked about, Tulsi Gabbard, was after the election, which wasn't even where most of the criminality took place. This was the cover-up. Really what she's talking about here is just the cover-up of the Russia collusion narrative, which started back in early 2016 with the intention and the design of spying on Trump, releasing, you know, leaking information, screwing over his campaign, covering up for the crimes of Hillary Clinton, including the Benghazi emails, including the private server, including the Pizzagate emails that were exposed, including the pay for play and the, you know, selling Stingray weapons to terrorists in Al-Qaeda, funneling them through Libya, which is why Benghazi was attacked in the first place. They cover all of that up while simultaneously launching fake, you know, warrants against Trump. I mean, you're talking about surveillance. You're talking about just manipulating a warrant process, crime upon crime upon crime. And that, none of that is even included in this. This is just the cover up. This was after Trump was elected, what they did to try to sweep up and cover up and perpetuate this narrative to lay the groundwork for impeachment later on, and to perpetuate the antagonism between Russia and America with the intention of starting a war between Ukraine and Russia as a proxy against the nationalistic forces arrayed against the globalist schemers. We can move on. We can move on now. But I do want to point out just how sort of incestuous all of this is. So you've got Perkins Coie. So you've got Obama paying $1 million to Perkins Coie, who hires Fusion GPS, who gets the Steele dossier. Now, Trump gets back into office in 2024, and he wants to go after these agencies or these law firms like Perkins Coie and a few others. And he basically says, you people tried to destroy me. I'm going to take your license away. I'm going to punish you somehow. I'm going to use whatever authority I have to stop you from doing what you did to me and other people. So let's say Perkins Coie, what should I write? What do they say? They say like pro bono. So then these law firms go, you know what? We understand. We're sorry of what we did. We are going to, you know, please don't destroy us. Please don't, you know, take away our ability to function. In return, we'll do pro bono work for you. Do you know what the pro bono work they are doing for Trump is? It's writing the anti-Semitism laws. It's writing the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act and getting that passed. That's what Perkins Coie is doing in, you know, apology for trying to destroy Trump, as well as, you know, being one of the leading forces behind the January 6th political persecutions. Law firm says Trump order targeting it specifically is an attack on the rule of law. The law firm Perkins Coie is suing the Trump administration, alleging that a recent executive order targeting the firm is unconstitutional and aims to punish it for representing clients and causes that are opposed to the administration. President Trump signed an executive order last week addressing risks from Perkins Coie LLP that accused the firms of dishonest and dangerous activity that sought to overturn laws and elections and said it racially discriminates against its own attorneys and staff through its diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. In the lawsuit filed Tuesday in federal court in Washington, D.C., and again, this was back in the beginning of Trump's second administration, attorneys for Perkins Coie called the executive order an affront to the Constitution and our adversarial system of justice. Its plain purpose is to bully those who advocate points of view that the president perceives as adverse to the views of his administration, whether those views are presented on behalf of paying or pro bono clients. But of course, what Trump was doing was accusing Perkins Coie of a range of nefarious actions over the years, allegedly seeking to undermine democratic elections as well as the integrity of the U.S. courts and law enforcement. The order specifically mentions the firm's representation of Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign and the role attorneys played at Perkins Coie played in the creation of a dossier of unsubstantiated allegations about the possible Trump-Russia ties. The lawsuit pushes back against any allegations of wrongdoing. It notes that Trump filed a lawsuit in 2022 against Perkins Coie, Hillary Clinton, and others alleging a conspiracy against Trump. The case was dismissed months later by a federal court. Michael Sussman was charged with a Democrat by the Justice Department special counsel in connection with his work related to the dossier. A jury found him not guilty at trial. Trump's order also accuses the law firm of racial discrimination because of its diversity, equity, and inclusion practices. And so Perkins Coie, in order to avoid this, you know, punishment from Trump for trying to undercut the rule of law and overthrow the results of the Democratic election, they said, don't worry, we're going to offer pro bono work and we're going to write anti-Semitism laws for you to put into place. You're welcome. You're so welcome. As well as a number of other things. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but like, it's nothing good. It's all just like, yeah, so they're going to be writing laws that just like to criminalize language. What? And like at a certain point, you got to admire it. You almost got to admire it. Like they get caught doing something bad, but they're powerful enough that they're not, they don't actually get punished for it. And so they're like, we'll do pro bono work. And they just write laws that make it illegal for you to criticize them. And they're like, that's our community service. What? Oh, it's just infuriating. It really is just infuriating. These people need to be put in prison. I'll say for now. I got to find where the actual... This is the problem. If I don't... Like, I should be able just to, like, type stuff into Google and find it while we're live on the show. But if I don't compile everything before the show, I just can't find it because Google just hides everything. And I have to sit here and, like, figure out exactly how I'm trying to say it. President, the real losers in Trump's law firm deal aren't who you think. Wealthy firms may be spared punishment. Their needy clients will pay the price. Earlier this month, U.S. judge, federal judge, made the right call in declaring President Trump's executive order targeting the law firm of Perkins Coie utterly unconstitutional. To justify the penalties, the president cited purely political reasons, including the fact that the firm had represented Hillary Clinton, his opponent in the 2016 Democratic presidential race. Yeah, well, why is Rudy Giuliani losing everything he owns? Why is he being forced to give up his father's watch? Oh, because he's President Trump's lawyer? You just try. Try to find an example of these people complaining about something that they themselves haven't done. Everything they complain about, they do first. It's just crazy. So the Trump administration is demanding a pledge of nearly $940 million worth of pro bono legal services collectively to the administration, basically saying, you know, if you don't want to be punished, you got to give us nearly $1 billion worth of pro bono work. Initially, the pro bono work would include assisting veterans in making the justice system fairer. Since then, the White House has said the firm should be called upon to provide free representation to coal companies, to police accused of use of excessive force, and the White House itself. The White House has already told the firms that President intends to use their pro bono work for implementing their America First agenda. So what they ended up actually doing is writing the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. They're like, you'll assist veterans in making and getting health care and making the Justice Department safer and helping coal companies. Or maybe you'll have to defend police in their use of excessive force. And then at the end of the day, it's like, oh, no, actually, there's writing laws saying that you can't criticize Jewish people. And that's the work that they've done for us. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like, that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet or whether it's the modern day atmosphere or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone that wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? Just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria. But beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts. You want to talk about power. You want to talk about strength. Talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you asked me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ, black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Smith, support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. You go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. We got massive deals going on there. And of course, it keeps us on the air and way out and ahead of the rest of the news. As if you were one of the people who are shocked by Jeffrey Epstein's arrest and subsequent murder in 2019, you're about 15 years behind the curve. In terms of knowing who Jeffrey Epstein was and what he was up to and what the purpose of his activities was. And, you know, I still am just, I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to like teach courses about the way this Epstein case has been handled by Trump. It is so baffling. It is so nonsensical. One of the only ways I can make sense of it, and I don't even think this is the case, but this would make all the puzzle pieces fit, is if this was 5D chess, because right now you've got Democrats demanding that they release the Epstein files for the first time ever, because they've been convinced that the reason Trump doesn't want to release them is because he's in them. So they think that by releasing them, that'll hurt Trump. But there's way more Democrats on that list than Trump, than Republicans. And Bill Clinton was way, way closer of an associate to Jeffrey Epstein than Donald Trump ever was. But like now, it's just, this is, it's so crazy. It's so crazy. Because you now have articles that just, the entire article is just about Trump being friends with Epstein. It's a different headline. This is Wall Street Journal. Justice Department told Trump in May that his name is among many in the Epstein files. Again, that doesn't mean that he's guilty of anything. His name is just in the, you know, in the list of phone numbers or whatever that Epstein had. Nobody's denying that they knew each other. Is this one I was just looking at? I mean, the whole thing, it just allows them to write articles now that are just like, Donald Trump's best friend, Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein, who was friends with the president, Donald Trump, for a long time, and they were great associates. And now Donald Trump is covering up the Epstein. Epstein and Donald Trump and Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein being covered up by Donald Trump. And it's just like, this is so stupid. It is like impossible to even understand how badly Trump messed this up, which again is why I'm like, okay, the only, either he's a genius and this is all working perfectly because he's getting all this attention on the Epstein file. Not that it was necessary, because that doesn't even make any sense. It doesn't even make any sense that way. So no, that's not the case. That's not what's happening here. But this is from an hour ago. Justice Department officials are expected to interview Ghislaine Maxwell, the Jeffrey Epstein associate serving a 20-year federal prison sentence for sex trafficking in Tallahassee, Florida on Thursday. According to two people with knowledge of the situation, Todd Blanche, the number two official at the department who brokered the meeting, is in Florida. Though it's not clear whether he would attend or conduct the interview, one of those people said the interview is part of the department's effort to quell criticism that it is concealing details about Trump's interaction with high-profile figures, including President Trump. Really, it just really is hilarious how much they have just taken this. And now Donald Trump, like, how could you have handled this worse? How could you have handled this worse? Donald Trump was never a suspect in the Epstein files. They would point out that he was friends every time it came up. But we've got the Epstein victims saying, like, on record, in their depositions, they're asked, like, who were Jeffrey Epstein's associates? Who were his, you know, friends that helped him do this? Who did he conspire with? And their answer is Bill Clinton. Their answer is, if you want to know about what Jeffrey Epstein was up to, ask Bill Clinton. He was his best friend. That's according to the victim. Stories about them traveling around going, I told the story when I was on with Alex Stein, a Jeffrey Epstein victim was also a guest. And she said that Bill Clinton introduced her to Jeffrey Epstein by saying, meet the king of America. So somehow it's gone from Trump had nothing to do with Epstein. And in fact, as soon as he learned he was under any suspicion at all, immediately kicked him out of his club. One of the prosecutors who was investigating Epstein is on camera saying, I reached out to everybody I could that knew Jeffrey Epstein. Not a single person returned my call except for Donald Trump, who said, I'll give you anything you want. What do you need? I'm here to help. And again, it just goes on and on and on. So you go for years. Not only is Donald Trump totally not associated with Epstein in any, you know, real way. He is the one pushing it. He and his, functionaries are the ones talking about Epstein. Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein visited Bill Clinton's White House at least 17 times in 2 years. And yet somehow Trump has handled this so badly that every article has framed this entire thing as if the only reason Epstein was ever even talked about was because he was such good friends with Donald Trump. And all of his activities involve Donald Trump. And the cover-up is to protect Donald Trump alone. Bafflingly bad handling of this situation. Inexplicable, insane. Again, Trump was the one pushing this. Trump is on the campaign trail saying we're going to release the Epstein files. And in the last few months, it's gotten to the point. This is that same article. It's just the scrolling sort of New York Times constant update article. They say Ghislaine Maxwell. Justice Department officials are expected to interview Ghislaine Maxwell, the former girlfriend of Jeffrey Epstein, who's serving 20 years sentence for sex trafficking. Two people of the knowledge said this is over the investigation into Mr. Epstein, who died in 2019 while awaiting trial. Mr. Trump, a former friend of Mr. Epstein, has sought to redirect attention from the matter. Lawyers for hundreds of Mr. Epstein's victims said the executors of the financier's estate have a copy of a book in which Mr. Trump was reported to have signed a bawdy poem as a drawing for Mr. Epstein's 50th birthday. The lawyer told the MSNBC that he believed the estate would be willing to give the book compiled by Ms. Maxwell in 2003 to federal authorities. Mr. Trump has denied signing the book, and he's actually launched lawsuits for defamation about those claims. Trump at the Fed. Mr. Trump is set to visit the Federal Reserve on Thursday. His administration keeps up its attacks on the central bank over its mismanagement of the economy and revelations at its headquarters, or renovations at its headquarters, rather. So again, I cannot understand how it's gone from this being a major right-wing talking point, a tool in Trump's toolkit, something that Democrats were terrified of even referencing because they knew how closely the Democrat or elite are tied up with Epstein. It has gone from pure like this. This is I'm trying to like think of another. Like something else that could happen. That would be like the equivalent of this. I mean, this would literally be like you open up the newspaper. And it's an article about how Donald Trump created transgenderism. And how Donald Trump is trying to force men who dress like women into women's sports, and how transgenderism kind of wasn't even a thing until Donald Trump brought it up. And now Donald Trump is forcing women to compete with men by this thing he made up called transgenderism. Even that's it doesn't even quite do it justice, but like, how do you mess up this badly? I genuinely don't know. Now, there was a request to unseal a lot of the grand jury information about Jeffrey Epstein. That, however, was unfortunately blocked yesterday by a federal judge with demon eyes. I would say that her eyes are those of some sort of demon, like a cartoon demon. Like, if you ever watch anime and you see an anime drawing of a demon, that's sort of how her eyes look, if the crew can find them. And there's an interesting connection there. I guess the judge's name is Rosenberg. And coincidentally, get this, she's married to former state attorney for Palm Beach County, Michael Mikoff. Rosenberg is Jewish. As Dissident Soap notes, wait a second, you're telling me that the federal judge who won't release the Epstein grand jury documents is married to the Florida district attorney who stonewalled the West Palm Beach police chief when he was trying to charge Epstein back in 2008? Incredible coincidence. So you've got Pam Bondi, who was attorney general or some high up position. And yeah, they're the eyes. They're the weird upside down eyes. Guess I mean, anything you can particular point to, it's just there's something uncanny about her, isn't there? I'm not. Yeah, you're right. She looks like she cut her face out of a paper bag or something. I don't know how to explain it. It's a homemade Halloween mask of some sort. She's a weird looking lady. She's a weird looking lady, but she's married to the guy who was in charge of the Epstein case in Florida all the way back in 2005, 2008. Isn't that a coincidence? You know, Pam Bondi helped get him the deal as well. Alex Acosta was involved in the early prosecutions of Epstein. That's where the claim that he belonged to intelligence comes from. Anyway, isn't that coincidental? Isn't that strange that the judge who blocks the release of Epstein's grand jury documents just so happens to be married to the man who was the prosecutor against Jeffrey Epstein and gave him the sweetest of sweetheart deals, where he could even fly to other countries. He could go visit the Virgin Islands as long as he was back within 24 hours. That was his punishment. That was his house arrest. So the Jeffrey Epstein case begins in 2005 in Palm Beach County, where it was later revealed in Ghislaine Maxwell's criminal case that his sexual abuse of children here began a decade earlier in the 1990s. Maxwell enlisted Epstein's chauffeur and traveled all over the country to find girls for Epstein. She picked up one of the most spotlighted ones, Virginia Robert Giuffre, at Mar-a-Lago, where the 15-year-old and her father worked. And again, when Trump found out about it, he kicked Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago. And this is just going through the timeline here. I'll just go ahead and do the search because I'd found it earlier. Michael McCoff. Epstein is released from jail to spend 1 year on house arrest, but is allowed to travel frequently, such as to his private island in the U.S. Virgin Islands, as long as he's back within 24 hours. His lawyers asked to end house arrest early, a request rejected by Krischer's successor, Michael McAuliffe. I don't know how the hell to pronounce his name. McAuliffe? A few potential violations of his house arrest are documented in state attorney's files, but no one takes action. A violation could have sent Epstein back to jail. Well, yeah, if he wasn't a Mossad agent, he'd go back to jail. No, a normal person would go back to jail for violating the terms of their release. Not Jeffrey Epstein, though. Not Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein gets caught running a nationwide pedophile sex trafficking ring. He gets put on house arrest where he can leave for 24 hours and go to the Virgin Islands if he wants. And he never actually has to, spend any time behind bars. And whenever he violates the very lenient conditions of his release, nothing happens. He didn't work from jail, though. He just didn't go to jail. I don't know if the audience could hear that. Matt just said he worked from jail. He didn't go to jail. It was overnight. No, they would literally chauffeur him. The sheriff or the whatever law enforcement would pick him up from the jail in the morning, drive him home or to his office, and then drive him back to jail at night, and he'd stay there at night. But if you got 24 hours, that means he could sleep in the Virgin Islands. He didn't even have to really go back and check in. He just was allowed to get away with it. It's not that complicated. And the next time he's arrested is in 2019, but he'd been abusing women for the 15 years in between that. And all of the people involved in this, early whitewashing fake conviction are all back on the scene now, helping to continue to cover it up, including the wife of the prosecutor who was in charge of his case. It's just wild. It really is. And then you have stuff like this. To Epstein's first prosecutors, victims were prostitutes. This is an article from all the way back in 2019. Ever since Jeffrey Epstein became a pariah for abusing dozens of teenage girls at his Palm Beach mansion, federal prosecutors have been blasted for engineering the deal of the century for the uber-wealthy sexual predator. But the twisted saga started and could have ended with the public official originally handling the case, former Palm Beach County State Attorney Barry Krischer. You know what? I got a bad feeling about this. What's Barry Krischer doing now? So Barry Krischer apparently acted as if Epstein's teenage accusers were prostitutes who eagerly sold their bodies to buy clothes at the mall instead of treating them like high school girls who said they'd been sexually assaulted by a man four decades their senior. Krischer decided he didn't believe them. But based on a review of the state attorney's investigative files, no one from Krischer's office, ever interviewed the girls or their parents. His lead prosecutor declared more than once that there were no victims in the case, adding to documents obtained by the Post. Finally, Krischer found a secret way to sink the case. He took it to a grand jury where only one victim testified. It was the first time same sex crime case was presented to a grand jury by his office. 13 teens gave police nearly identical accounts of how the politically connected financier used his wealth to exploit the underage girls. Yet the task of convincing jurors that Epstein was a predator fell on the shoulders of one 14-year-old girl. Kreischer's office then undermined its own witness, who told police she'd been fondled by naked Epstein while she gave him a massage, sources close to the grand jury proceedings told the Post. Prosecutor Lana Bello-Halvek peppered the girl with questions about her social media pages, the sources said. The girl's MySpace account, supplied by prosecutors to two prosecutors by Epstein's lawyers, portrayed her drinking liquor with boys and talking about sex. Unmoved by her testimony, the grand jury came up with one charge of solicitation of prostitution, what a John would face. So basically, the children that he was abusing were treated like prostitutes by the prosecutor charged with, you know, bringing justice and ensuring their safety. 2 years later, South Florida U.S. Attorney Alex Acosta negotiated the much maligned secret deal that allowed Epstein to avoid federal prison. So I just, you know, it takes a village, doesn't it? They say it takes a village to raise a child. No, it takes a community, a society, to cover up something this large. This is not the action of a single individual. And that may be, you know, the major outcome of this is that they act like this one guy somehow has all of these people working to cover up for him. All of these people making sweetheart deals, calling his victims prostitutes, the media coming in to obfuscate things, make it look like this is all about Trump saving his own ass. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And it requires the complicity or the collaboration or the, you know, actual participation of all of these people. Now, what could explain that? Intelligence is the only thing. Intelligence is the only thing that explains this. Again, just everything about the way Epstein's being talked about right now is just at the height of absurdity. As they frame, as now, like if you didn't really know about Epstein and started reading the newspapers now, you would think the entire thing revolves around Trump. And that Trump was his number one client and that Trump was his best friend and Trump, and like the only reason Epstein was ever arrested was because of, you know, Trump is a bad guy. It's like, it's really beyond comprehension just how badly they have failed in every possible way to handle this situation and how they've given Democrats absolutely everything they need to frame it dishonestly. And I can't blame them for having a field day. I just hope they get what they ask for. I just hope they get what they want. I hope they get what they want and that it gets released and that we see all of the dirty deeds Bill Clinton and his friends got up to. Because it sure as hell wasn't Trump the entire time. We'll move on. Let's go ahead and go to clip number six here, because this is what I'm talking about. This is the genius move. So this was posted. A genius move. The House Democrats were able to pass a motion in the GOP-controlled House Oversight Subcommittee to subpoena all the Jeffrey Epstein files. Let's watch clip number six.
Document into the record listing the members of this committee and their individual calls to release the Epstein files.
Shauna, without objection. The subcommittee stands in recess, subject to the call of the chair.
Point of order. Are we not going to take the vote?
We're in recess. That was a previous order.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, we need to take the vote from the motion.
We're in recess pursuant to previous order, which passed without objection. So we're in recess, and we will move to those votes. But sorry, this is out of order conversation. I'm just being polite. We had the previous order that we moved without objection. Votes would be moved until after deliberation.
Well,
subject to call of the chair. Our hope is today we have plans.
Recess.
We have plans.
We have plans. Forever recess. Children will love
that. So, Mr. Sir, when is the actual, when are we back in session for this subcommittee? After votes?
That's subject to the call of the chair, as I stated. So,
we're going to do a permanent recess.
The previous order. So, stand by.
And now we will be calling up Ms. Lee's motion as amended. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. No. Any opinion of the... Pardon?
The ayes have it.
Any opinion, Chair? The no has it.
Recorded vote, sir.
Recorded vote is called for. The clerk will read the... Call the roll.
Mr. Gosar. Mr. Biggs.
So here the Republicans are all voting no, but Democrats are voting yes.
Aye.
Again,
Mr. Perry.
I can only hope that this is maybe this is the intended outcome of Trump. Like, you've got Democrats who are just like, they're like giddy. They're like laughing. They're like, oh, the ayes have it. Ah, we're going to release the document. And it's like, are they just playing into Trump's hands? Is that what's happening? Because as far as I know, and from all of the evidence I've ever seen, testimony from people that have no reason to like or want to help Donald Trump at all, from the victims of Epstein to the lawyers of Epstein to the prosecutors involved, every one of them ubiquitously has said Donald Trump not only wasn't involved, he actively worked to stop Epstein's activities. And yet the Democrats are demanding they release the files. The Democrats think that they have Trump up against the rope here and that Trump really doesn't want them to release the files. This might all be reverse psychology. Forget 5D chess. It's just simple reverse psychology. No, Democrats, don't release the Epstein files. No, please don't. Don't do that. We would hate that.
Just got in my methylene blue, ultra methylene blue USP grade from thealexjonesstore.com. Yeah, I've heard all the rants and raves about this. Really interested to see how I'm going to feel. I'm going to do a third dropper and then some water right now. And I am going to see. Yeah, that's plenty. Maybe that's a little bit more. I'm going to mix this up. And pretty excited to see how this is going to work. So after I fully drink this, I will let everybody know the effects of, hopefully, of what is the unlimited power. What's going on, Xers? Jay Rocket here. Just giving y'all an update. It's been an hour past doing the one dropper of the ultramethylene blue USB grade, the alexjonesstore.com. Currently at the gym right now. And it's hard to explain what I feel, other than I do feel the mental clarity. I don't have any cloudy thoughts. My focus seems relaxed, but very on point. And the energy kind of feels clean. No jittery, things like that. I haven't really felt any tingling or anything. Maybe if I'll probably take an extra dropper next time. This is on an empty stomach as well, so definitely feel just cool, calm, and collected, but very focused, very centralized. It's a very calm zen feeling. So if you haven't gotten to try this stuff yet, y'all need to go to thealexjonesstore.com and get your methylene blue today.
I'm gonna go to the bathroom.